The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, Bob Engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, the 12th of July, 2019. We're live during the week, of course, during the noon hour, as we have been since the first week of January in 2011, on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news talk. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts on my website, buckmastershow.com. Got all of the shows archived. It's very convenient to, it's actually an excellent resource and very easy to use, my website. Our media partners, Friday shout-out day to the media. Dylan, if you're listening, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan, for your support. Dan Scheer and his gang at Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Jim Nitzel and his team at Tucson Local Media Group and their portfolio of publications, and that includes Inside Tucson Business, of course, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, and Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview, Tim Tomier. Did I get it right this time, Tim?
You're getting better every time.
Tim Tomier is with us. Tim is the director of Tucson Water. First time Tim started on the job, I really screwed up his name. Bob, do you remember that? Were you weren't on the other side of the glass? I think it was Ray Allen on the other side. Ray reminded me this morning of it. He says, Bill, do you remember Tim's first appearance with you? And I said, yeah, unfortunately I do. I think I said his name six times during the interview and I screwed it up every time. So anyway, joining me in studio with our conversation with Tim is Joe Ferguson, Arizona Daily Star political reporter. How is your week going, Joe?
It's been a busy week.
I bet it has. And we'll talk about this more on the roundtable portion because I have nothing but kudos to the Star. You guys have really been on top of some really big stories. But right now with Tim, I think a big story, and I could be wrong. I've been in town 31 plus years. I can't recall this late a start to monsoon or summer thunderstorm season. It's a late start. Yes, last week some areas got a little bit of rain, some got a few drops, but a full-blown summer rainy season has yet to happen.
That's correct. We're still still waiting for that to break free. We had a very cool and wet spring and actually a unusually wet May, leading into a very, very late start to the monsoon. Just looking forward to that moment when we can all breathe that sigh of relief and enjoy that monsoon season start.
And in putting this in perspective, did a little research. July 20th is usually considered by the National Weather Service as the latest start to a full-blown season. And looking at those numbers for the next 7 to 10 days, those percentages are barely breaking 20%. So it's kind of hit and miss right now. How important is the rain, summer rains, to what you do at Tucson Water?
The summer rains or the monsoon season in Tucson is important from a long-term perspective because that water is actually what helps to replenish our aquifer over time. But on an annual basis, we're not that highly dependent on the local rain. We have our recharge and recovery facilities, our Colorado River water supply, our reclaimed water supply. These are the things that are what we use to meet demand in the heat of summer. But certainly a healthy monsoon or a string of them several years in a row really is good for not only the local environment, but for our long-term water future.
Joe Ferguson, I know you want to bring up the latest on the Santa Cruz.
I think it's beautiful what's going on there. I think everybody's very excited about it. What's next? I understand that there are some permits that are needed to be done to really get that stream to go even further downstream.
Right now, we have the permits in hand to be able to do what we're doing today and also for the longer term, at least have the water flow to about Congress Street. We know we're capable of having it flow further, and there's a lot of excitement and people that get really pleased when they can see it even go further. So we definitely have the capability in the water to be able to have it go further. We could even augment the system if people really wanted it to do so. Right now, the biggest concern we have is making sure that we truly understand what this looks like month after month, instead of just we're 2 weeks in and it's all wonderful. We want to make sure there's no negative consequences as far as ponding of water or things that become a nuisance in the river, and also making sure that we really understand what its impacts will be on risk of catastrophic flooding in a natural storm event. So we're going to be continuing to work with Pima County Flood Control District on those questions. And as we resolve those issues, perhaps we could bring even more flow to the Santa Cruz.
The Santa Cruz, this has been dubbed the Santa Cruz River Heritage Project. It's the release, and for folks who don't know, we always have to assume that people really don't follow the news, Joe, as closely as you and I do, that people really, you know, there may be people listening right now and saying, what are you talking about? Water in the Santa Cruz. This goes back. This is the first effort to restore a fraction of the Santa Cruz River's flow since groundwater pumping dried it up in the 1940s. What is this water? Is this reclaimed water, Tim?
That's exactly right. This is reclaimed water. Tucson has had a reclaimed water system or recycled wastewater system since at least the 1980s, and we've used it even locally earlier than that. And it's used on almost all of our golf courses and parks and school grounds locally. That is the source of the water that we're using to restore flow to the Santa Cruz River. What made this possible were a couple of things. One is we got a legislative change in the spring that changes how water management's done in Arizona when you use a natural river to recharge the aquifer, which was in our favor and made a project like this very viable. And also, it was in really in keeping with the cultural and historical setting of downtown Tucson, which is the birthplace of Tucson. And we have generations now that really have no connection to the fact that that was a perennially flowing river. That's why Tucson is where it is. That's why for millennia it's been a cultivated area and people have lived in this valley. But it was dry for the 70-year period. So really that was an instigation to say, how can we do something different with our water that's still good for the long term but has a more profound impact in the near term?
Can we afford, though, to recreate a river? Do we have that kind of water in our storage?
Well, I've had to revise my expectations of what the impact of the water flow would be, because it's actually exceeded our expectations of just how wide it is. And there are sections of the river where it actually fills the entire channel bottom. So at Congress Street Bridge, you look north, you look south, you have actually a lake there now. It's been incredible about the impact of just a little bit of water, and we actually have more water that could be put to this use. What people might not connect with immediately is what we're doing is flowing it through the river, but that water as it flows down the river is infiltrating downward into our aquifer. So we're actually storing water in our aquifer for the long term, and this is water that would normally have been flowing into Marana and further north, and still a flowing Santa Cruz River, but nobody knew it was there. And it wasn't in the middle of the community where people could really have that direct connection with it. So we do have the water, and we do have the ability to do this for the long term.
What's the downside to the water that used to flow in Marana? Are you going to lose riparian areas that are established up there right now?
Actually, no. We've not seen a reduction in that. There are two large wastewater treatment plants operated by Pima County in the north end of town, one at Roger Road essentially and the other at Ina Road. This water is water that normally would have been either recharged or discharged from the Roger Road location, although that discharge is continuing. It's still a flowing stretch of the river, or it would have been taken out of the river and recharged at some of our off-channel recharge facilities. So what we're actually doing is, instead of solely relying on these recharge facilities that are outside of the river, we're now using a longer stretch of the river to get to the same result, but actually bringing it much further upstream and into urban Tucson.
Do you have to modify any permits?
To do more than we're doing today, we would have to modify
if you were to go continually north of this, of Congress, you'd have to modify them.
We would have to modify our permits, and we would actually have to add an additional discharge location, probably at Cushing Street. So the water enters at one location just north of Silver Lake, and we're limited on how much water we can put in at that location based on what the system can provide there. But we do have another location at Cushing where we could actually add more water and it could flow further north, again, if we can resolve any concerns about flooding.
Has there been any negative consequences from the public, or would you say 95% of the people, or maybe higher, are on board?
It's at least 95%. We're getting tremendous support, and it's not just people from an aesthetic standpoint saying, I ride the loop trail and I love being able to see the flowing water. When you look at the social media channels and the stories that people are sharing, it's very touching how emotional this is for Tucsonans. And many people talking about how their father or their grandfather or their grandmother would share stories about how when they were growing up, they would be in the Santa Cruz River for a variety of reasons associated with flowing water. And now I've even seen comments like, my grandfather can rest in peace now that I know that the river's flowing again.
So I just want to talk about the people that don't have social media accounts, the animals. Are we seeing any kind of wildlife returning to the area, or is it just too soon for that kind of return?
There's already wildlife certainly visiting it, and whether or not you feel like they're living there yet. so we immediately on the, when the, we were starting the, up the release, there were a couple of coyotes came down and playing in the water. And we've got local folks from the University of Arizona who are paying close attention. There's a great deal of dragonfly activity in there. And I just thought there was one dragonfly. No, apparently there's dozens of species.
Yeah, we're very rich in species of dragonflies.
And they're already laying eggs. They've already been coming in and doing it. We've got river toads also doing the same thing. So there's wildlife in action, actively using the flowing river.
That's great news. Dragonflies are harbinger of change. And I've yet to see any around our property in the foothills. Normally this time of year you see them, but they're not around yet because they're waiting up in our area for some really good rain. Tim Tomier is with us, and Tim is the director of Tucson Water. We're going to take our break right here. Joe Ferguson will also stick around. But, Joe, you know what I'm going to talk about right now.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if Tim has had any before.
Well, why don't we ask him? Tim, what do you know about Mona's Danish Bakery?
I know that every time I visit you, you discuss these wonderful...
Danish Kringle.
Right.
Yes. Well, you're from St. Louis. You're from the Midwest. You know Kringles are pretty common. I know they are up in the Chicago area where I'm from, certainly Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But the Kringle, and they do such a great job with it. Bob, why don't you grab the microphone here? Because Bob Dio, my engineer producer, loves the Danish Kringles. I've got to bring another one in here.
I mean, just waiting.
This would have been the perfect time to have a Kringle right here. We've got a big enough desk now here in the new Starship studio.
They would never leave.
Yeah, it'd be great. But what's your favorite?
There's one that had like sliced almonds on it.
Oh, that would be the almond paste that they put in there.
Oh, we got that one.
Oh, yeah.
You brought a different one here, too.
Yeah, and then I brought, was it strawberry? No, cherry, I believe.
Yeah. Anyway, I had some of that. That was great.
Yeah, that was great. Chief Baker and owner Steve does such a great job with all his baked goods, and he wants me to talk about, of course, the breakfast, because they're doing a full hot breakfast every morning at 6:30, and he wants me to talk about it to let everybody know, because he's made a sizable investment there, buying the new grills and everything. So it's the place to go. They're open right now for lunch, or if you want to do breakfast, that's fine. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery.com. There's a link at BuckmasterShow.com, and all of our great partners are listed there with links to their businesses. We're very proud of our lineup of people who have made this show possible. Without them, I would not be here. So please support them. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news talk. Tim Tomure is with us. Tim is the director of Tucson Water. We've been talking about the water releases to keep the Santa Cruz flowing. That's been a huge story this summer. A story that hasn't gotten a lot of publicity, and I guess there might be, that's probably pretty good for Tucson Water. Rates are going up, right, Tim?
Yes, we just had rates go up in about 6.5% as of July 1.
Is that, there used to be a rate increase every year, or this used to be something that was an annual deal. Right now it's every other year, and you'd like to actually push that back to every 4 years.
Actually, what we do is try to plan out about 5 years in advance of what our revenues and requirements will be, and not necessarily have to go through that process every year, which is a pretty heavy overhead burden to everybody in the community. So when we do it in over a multi-year period, it's actually quite a bit more efficient for us and a lot more predictability on what it looks like for the consumer moving forward. So our next time we'll be having that conversation with the community is this spring.
Joe Ferguson is with us in studio. Joe, a political writer and writer of not just pretty much all political. Would you say, Joe?
Or, I dabble in other
general,
things.
But, yeah, general reporter and writer for the Star is with us in studio. Go ahead, Joe.
Tim, I just want to talk a little bit about the rate increases. What's really driving costs? I mean, is it the cost of water? Is it electricity? Is it infrastructure? What's driving those rate increases?
The majority of the recent rate increases we've seen has been three main things. Sorry, one is the cost of water. As most Tucsonans should know by now, we import the vast majority of our water that we use each year from the Colorado River, and those costs do increase. And we've actually been planning for a time when a shortage is declared on the Colorado River. That means that even though we'll still be getting all of the water we have a right to, because we have a high priority, the cost of that water will be going up. So that's one big one. Tucson Water carries a lot of debt from our existing infrastructure. We have plans in place to bring that debt down, but it's still been the annual debt service, we call it, the cost of all that borrowed money has been rising steadily over the last several years. So we need to accommodate that, but we're going to have that debt service peak and start to go down. And then there have been continuing costs of labor. Large portion of that year by year has been the healthcare costs that we carry for the employees. But actually, for the first time in almost a decade, quite recently, city employees have seen wage adjustments. It was a very lean time for the city through the economic downturn. Many people might not know that your civil servants went through almost 10 years where they had no salary adjustments or actually went backwards in salary virtually. So that's really been over the last 2 years that we've actually been able to do something about that. So those are really the three things that put the pressure on our rates. I will note that the rate increase this year is the lowest we've had in over a decade. The last 3 years are the lowest 3 years we've had in over a decade, and our expectation is we'll be able to continue to bring those down moving forward.
The council's made a political commitment to make sure that all employees make roughly $30,000 a year or more in the next 3 years. What does that mean to an enterprise fund like yours?
Tucson Water would be matching that same salary structure as it rolls out across the city. So in the fiscal year we just started, as of July 1, there's already a new, we don't call it a minimum wage because it's really not that, but the minimum salary that a city employee would receive is now $13.20 an hour. And that's those adjustments were all made for July 1. And with the continued support and direction of council, that could be increasing over time.
So that would impact a lot of your employees, a little bit of your employees?
We had about 70 employees in that first round. Tucson Water has about just short of 600 employees total. So a little over 10% of our employees were in that first round. And as it moves up over time, assuming that it does, it would begin to bring in more and more of our forces into that equation.
Did you say some of your employees went 10 years without seeing any raise?
That's correct. There were a couple things. There was a positive side to that in that in almost all those years, the city did absorb the increasing healthcare costs. So the employees, while not receiving significant raises, were not having their out-of-pocket costs necessarily hit by the increasing healthcare costs. I think in that time frame, there was one 55-cent an hour raise that was across the board. But by and large, there was no salary movement for about a decade. And those days are over. The city's in a much more stable financial environment over the last couple of years. So that tide has turned.
How big is your footprint? How many people do you serve?
Tucson Water serves about 730,000 people.
Pretty much the whole valley then.
We're about 85% of the valley. The city itself is about 550,000 people.
So if you take that group, compare it to other areas, or can you compare it realistically with prices of our water compared to other service areas of, say, 750,000 people? Where would we wind up, or can we compare it?
We do compare that usually when we're doing our rate studies, we actually see how do we compare. I can say Tucson Water's rates locally are either the least expensive or the second least expensive For the larger water providers. Nobody else is the same size we are, but Oro Valley's rates tend to be about what ours are, maybe a little slower, a little lower. When you compare us to the Phoenix Valley cities, our rates are generally higher, except for Mesa and maybe one or two others. They have a wonderful advantage up there called the Salt River, which is instead of importing all their water like we do, they import about half, and half of it's delivered to them by nature. So that's a major difference in why their rates are a bit smaller. But we're comparable to an Albuquerque, to an El Paso.
Where's the river? Where's that Salt River come from, that water?
There's the Salt and Verde River watersheds, which are kind of north and east of the Phoenix Valley.
And there's water year-round up there?
That's a highly regulated but flowing river. There's a Roosevelt Dam, and another number of dams that control the flow until you get down to right about Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a minor flow. You can see Tempe Town Lake. That's really not from the, it's in the Salt River, but it's not the Salt and Verde flows that feed that. But it's actually one of the areas, it actually predates our use of the Colorado River.
Really?
And that entire watershed was very early 1900s set aside for developing water for the Phoenix Valley.
So that's a huge advantage for Phoenix.
Yes.
And we're not at all jealous.
I remember the day when we were really worried about depleting our groundwater. We kept going deeper and deeper. Joe, you kind of remember some of that, don't you?
I do.
I mean, where are we now with it?
Most areas of Tucson are actually, the water table has been rising, and it's been rising since about 2001. We actually recently updated a report that we last did in 1998. It was called Status of the Aquifer, mm-hmm. and as of 1998, things were looking very bad. We had gone through our first attempt to bring our Colorado River water into use, mm-hmm. and we failed. Mm-hmm. And so we were completely reliant, except for the reclaimed water, largely reliant on our local groundwater. So our water levels were declining in some areas. It could be 3 to 5 feet per year. Since that time, since we got our Colorado River water into use through recharge and recovery, and we were able to slow down our pumping of groundwater into the fact where it's essentially zero at this point, we have had water level increases in most parts of the basin, including in Avra Valley. Water levels are back to where they were in 1940.
Really?
And in urban Tucson, water levels have increased on the order of 80 to 100 feet.
When you say we failed, was that when there was like rust or dirty water coming out of people's taps?
That's correct. Affectionately referred to as the debacle. Tucson originally built a surface water treatment plant for its Colorado River water, much like the cities in Phoenix Valley had done. We just didn't do it very well and had significant community impacts. And actually had to shut down that plant and really totally reconfigure how we were going to use that supply. I will note that was all before it came.
But those were dark days then for Tucson Water.
Not a good time.
For the confidence level of the public and everything, it's bad. It's bad PR.
We have come a long way since the days of the early 90s, and I think I like to feel that we have the confidence of the public and they trust us to do good things. I think we've proven that over time. And when we do things like the Heritage Project and they can really embrace something that we've done that maybe was a really good thing, it feels good.
Joe, we haven't talked about something that's pretty important about water. It used to be there was that cartoon character. You remember that little bird that ran around? Pete the Beak. Yeah, it was like a little bird, and there were cartoons about water only at certain times of the day. I mean, there was a huge conservation push here in Tucson about 20 years ago, Tim.
Pete's still around, believe it or not. And in person, he's actually fairly tall.
Is he really?
Yes. And actually, he's come a long way. You can even go to our website and request Pete to be present at an event if you want Tucson Water there, with or without Pete.
So he is around, and he has the full uniform and everything.
That's correct. And if you happen to be at the Ward 4 Back to School Bash tomorrow morning, you could see not only me, but Pete probably there as well.
Yeah.
So you're not the same people.
I am not the same. I'm not tall enough to be Pete. I keep raising my hand and they're no.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, those community service announcements must have run for 15, 20 years. Did it pay off?
It absolutely paid off. So even through the use of Pete the Beak and other efforts, Tucson's internationally known for its water conservation ethic. To put it in just one set of facts that really shines a light on it, right now, Tucson Water uses about the same amount of water we used in the mid-1980s. And that's with 200,000 more people in our service area and a much broader economy. So the water conservation and the efficiency is one of the key reasons we have a very sustainable city now. The importation of Colorado River water is a huge part of that. The water recycling and reclaimed water we do is a huge part of that. But the Tucsonans themselves and the way they use water and the conservation that they've done in this community means we're the most resilient water supply in the Southwest.
Wow. Joe, do you have anything else?
No, I just wanted to say that I probably should remind our listeners about what those times are.
Yeah, that's probably a very good point.
Really trying to, it's best to water in the morning. The key thing is you don't want to water in the late afternoon when a couple things are occurring. One is that's the high evaporation rates. That water is actually not getting to your plants to the way that you would like it to. So watering in the morning. The other thing is when everybody gets home from work, that's when they're firing up their dishwashers or their clothes washers. So there's actually a really peak demand on the daily curve in that afternoon. So water in the morning.
All right. Tim Tomier, thank you very much for coming, Tim.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Joe Ferguson will stick around. We've got our roundtable portion of the hour coming up. The program is Buckmaster. It's on 10:30. The Voice, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. We'll be right back. Sarah Garrett Gasson, who is the editorial page editor of The Star, will be with us, joining us on the live line right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news talk. Joe Ferguson sticks around after our interview with Tim Tom. You're the director of Tucson Water. I think I did a fairly good job with his name, Joe. And Sarah Garrett Gasson with us on the live line from the Arizona Daily Star offices, where she's been very, very busy. Sarah is the editorial page editor at the Star, also a columnist. And Sarah, Joe and I sent Tim Tomier up to Mona's Danish Bakery before he goes back to the office. He's got to try one of the Kringles.
I think that's a fine recommendation. I'll have to do that myself one day.
There you go. I was talking to Joe before we started. I was saying kudos to the Star and your team, Sarah. What a busy news week. And you folks have really been doing the job, you know, bringing home the bacon, as they say. All sorts of kudos go out on a couple of stories that were broken about the migrants perhaps being housed at the Pima County Juvenile Center. That was a Star-originated story. You guys were on top of a downtown hotel deal that will finally bring what looks like a Hyatt Regency as a convention center hotel. You guys were on top of the story about first-of-its-kind agreement with the Pascua-Yaqui tribe to build and operate a casino near West Grant Road and Interstate 10. And then last but not least, your environmental reporter, Tony Davis, has been all over this story about how the Trump administration apparently interfered in some of the permitting process about that huge development in Benson. So there you go, Sarah.
Yeah. No, I am very proud to be part of the Arizona Daily Star and work with the colleagues on the news side who broke and covered those stories so thoroughly. And I'm writing about one of the developments in the migrant asylum seekers, where they're going to go, part of that saga, for tomorrow and on the editorial page. And that's why I had to call in today, because I had to stay and write about that, this new proposal kind of being floated by TUSD Board President Adelita Grijalva and Pima County Board of Supervisors Chair Richard Elias to not have the migrant asylum seekers be housed at the kind of a revamped juvenile detention center, but to instead offer up the former Menlo Park and Howenstein High School campuses, which is, I think, problematic for many reasons.
This is the first I have heard of this, but as I often say, and Bob Dio knows this, really the excitement that I get coming to work every day is I learned something, and I just learned something. I heard you say maybe it won't be the Pima County Juvenile Detention Center area. It's going to be perhaps another location. So tell me a little more.
Well, Joe Ferguson and Kurt Prendergast had the story today about how Adelita Grijalva and Richard Elias are saying, wait, let's not put them at the detention center, because no matter what you do with it, it's still going to be a detention center. Instead, let's look at Menlo Park and Howenstein, which are two TUSD campuses that have been closed as TUSD schools for several years now. But the problem is I'm going to explain in the editorial tomorrow, is that at least one of those, both have leases already existing, and one of them is already occupied by a school. So Yeah, there's some getting out ahead of the, I think, the elected officials getting out ahead of actually what's possible in this situation. So I'll be opining about that as an editorial in tomorrow's paper.
Okay, Joe, jump in.
And I think that some of this is fueled by just, you know, it's a political season right now. So there's some very loud voices that have made their thoughts known about the detention facility as being the preferred location. So we heard that earlier in the week from people on the campaign trail, most notably in the mayor's race.
And we did hear here on the Buckmaster Show from a voice, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, who is not at all on board with the juvenile detention center. He's, I think it's safe to say, he feels that Tucson's getting a disproportionate share of migrants, and he also wondered, where's the state? Why isn't the state helping out and the federal government? And then I brought this to the attention of Steve Kasachek, who, of course, has been very, very active over at the former Benedictine Monastery, the councilman, very active in making those people feel comfortable and working with Catholic Services. And then I brought, because Steve was on the program the day after Steve Christie, and he said after he gets off the interview with me, he was going to give Steve Christie a call and say, hey, maybe how about a tour of the Benedictine Monastery and show what's being done over there.
And on Sunday, we're going to have a piece from the omnipresent Steve Kasachek talking about the migrant situation and where to house these folks who are in need.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to add that I think that there's a lot of push right now for there to be easy to vote against, as Christie's going to do. But, you know, he's not answering the fact that there is federal money out there that's designed specifically for repaying communities like Tucson for these kind of facilities. So, you know, it's on a 5-person board, it's easy to have one vote against any kind of bill.
Yeah, and there might be two votes against, but, and he also brought up he didn't feel that Stone Garden funds should be used in the manner that they were going to be perhaps used to help the migrants.
That's kind of interesting. He was the prevailing vote on the Stone Garden matter, and money was set aside for humanitarian reasons.
Hmm. Speaking of migrants and Sanctuary City, the Sanctuary City petition, there's going to be a Pima County Republican Party, Sarah, I'm sure you saw this, will be filing to challenge the Sanctuary City petition that looks like it will be, they've got enough signatures, right, Joe?
They do.
To make the ballot in November. What can you tell us, Sarah?
Well, I think that the it's not a surprise that the Republican Party and Republicans in elected office would speak out against the Sanctuary City idea. It's something that is going to be on the ballot before Tucson City voters, and they'll have to decide and weigh in at the ballot box. But I'm not surprised at all that the GOP is taking to the courts to try to stop this any way they can.
What specifically are they challenging, Joe?
Well, they have three issues that they say that they're going to probably challenge in court. And right now, we just have a press release saying that they're going to do it. We haven't seen an actual filing. But they suggest that the threshold for getting on the ballot, 9,000 signatures and change, was simply too low, and that the calculation should be significantly higher, so that the bar should be set at somewhere around 12,000 signatures. Additionally, they have some concerns about individual signature gatherers and who they are, as well as some of the people who actually signed the petitions.
All kind of classic ways someone would go after a ballot proposition or even a candidate turning in petitions to get on the ballot.
The city council, this is a huge story, and I mentioned this about a downtown hotel, Joe Ferguson. The Hyatt Regency apparently is very interested in the former Hotel Arizona. This would be huge. This is something, when I came to town in 1988, when I would talk to the people at the Visit, before it was called Visit Tucson. It had a real long name with...
Right. No, remember that, sir?
You know, yeah, long name to do with MTCVB. Thank you, Bob Dio, telling me that in my ear. But that was a big goal forever, to get a downtown convention hotel. And so it looks like, Joe, we're not only going to get one, but maybe more.
Yeah, we have a couple of hotels that are going up. I think that my colleague, Gabby, wrote about it in Monday's paper, that there were five hotels going up in downtown, one of them on the opposite side of the TCC property.
Joe, do you want to make a quick mention in your column today? And you're doing that political notebook now every Friday in the Star, aren't you?
I am.
You talked about yet another debate, and there have been dozens of mayoral debates. There's another one coming up this weekend, right?
There's one at the Tancredi Dems tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning.
Hmm. I mean, we have had, people have had a lot of opportunity to hear these candidates, Sarah, which is a good thing, and there'll be even more because early ballots, I think, go out in a couple of weeks.
They do on the August 3rd, I believe. I have it right here.
Mm-hmm.
August 2nd. They're mailed August 2nd, and the election's August 27th.
Will the Star be endorsing?
We will be endorsing, and in fact, we're going to be Facebook living, if that's actually a verb, our endorsement interviews with... We're doing endorsements in the mayoral race because it will be pretty much decided in the primary. And so we'll be talking to those three candidates, even though there is an independent in the general. And then in Ward 1, there are four candidates, and that will be pretty much decided in the primary as well. So we'll be weighing in on that one. The other two, we are going to wait for the general election, because we usually only endorse in the primaries when that is pretty much the de facto deciding election in specific races.
Okay. Joe, do you want to promote anything you're doing? Can you release it or no?
Of course. I've got a colleague, Caitlin Schmidt, has got a great story this weekend about a diversion program over at the courts that are taking low-level offenders who are caught with some drugs and diverted from the jails. The program seems to be working, and it's something that you can read more about in Sunday's paper.
Okay. Sarah, and you've got Sanctuary City stuff coming up, so anything else you want to mention real quickly?
We have Sanctuary Cities, and then we have my editorial tomorrow about the migrant shelter, and a column also about Sanctuary Cities coming up from Jonathan Hoffman on Sunday. So
okay.
Lots to talk about.
Sarah, thank you very much. I'll let you get back to work. Appreciate you joining
thank
us
you.
On the live line. Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Star, Joe Ferguson with me in studio. Thank you, Joe, for coming in today.
Sure.
All right, Matt Russell on the live line. He'll be next. Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist. Weekend Watch right after this on Buckmaster on 1030, the voice trusted local news talk.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
That is, of course, the theme music for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. A little bit of Stir It Up, baby, as we get into another weekend. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Next week's the big event. It's the Clay Festival, everything to do with clay and pottery. Silver City Clay Festival kicking off all next week. So many events going on over in Silver City. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. It's cooler over there as well. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and all sorts of activities, including the Clay Festival in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist Mr. Matt Russell with us on the live line with Weekend Watch. Matt, how are you?
I'm just waiting on the monsoon, Bill. would love a little trusted local news and rain this weekend. Are you with me?
Yeah, man, we're really with you. But who knows? Those rain percentages don't look all that great. What's going on? One of the hallmarks of Weekend Watch since we kicked this whole venture off in January of 2011 has been your happy hour pick. Do you have one this week?
I do indeed, and I just love it when happy hour collides with the rollout of a special summer menu. And Mama Luisa's on South Craycroft is a great example. They just launched their lineup of daily summer specials, and today it's draft beers for only $3.50 and cocktails and select appetizers for only $5. A $5 cocktail?
Whoa.
Are you serious?
Are you kidding?
If that doesn't put happy in your happy hour, I don't know what will, Bill. I love this throwback setting of the Mama Luisa's Lounge. It's a place that's been shaking and stirring since 1956, and it gets my happy hour nod today.
Boy, this going to be a lot of fun over there for sure. What's going on at Baja Brews?
Yeah, the Baja Arizona Craft Brewers Guild is partnering with the Tucson Originals tomorrow night for the second annual Brews and Bites at the Highlands Dove Mountain out in Marana. Six teams will compete for best food and beer pairing, and each team will consist of two local chefs and one local brewer who have collaborated on what they think has victory potential. Tickets are $35. You can taste each dish and beer and vote for your favorite. Tickets are at TucsonOriginals.com. I'll be there. I'll be looking for all my fellow Buckmaster listeners, too.
Tucsonans love a beautiful cut of prime rib. Any suggestions?
Yes, you better believe it. Now, when I think of Charro del Rey downtown, my attention typically goes to their sustainable seafood offerings, but every Sunday through mid-August, they're offering their Arizona grass-fed prime rib for half price.
Ooh.
Now, this is a gorgeous cut of beef, which has been dry aged for 22 days. They serve it with an ancho chili au jus and some chili verde mashed potatoes. I say pair that big boy with a bottle of their Buttonwood Cabernet Franc, which is also half price tonight. You've got a spectacular Sunday dinner that'll save you mucho dinero this domingo at Charro del Rey.
You had a great birthday celebration, I know, over in San Diego. Do you have any quick suggestions for folks, Tucsonans, heading to the beach?
From a food and beverage perspective?
Please.
Yeah, I mean, right. Any wonderful taco shop, taco stand as you're walking down, and whether we're in downtown area, Ocean Beach, Pacific Beach, Mission Beach, we stopped off at the Pacific Beach Cafe right on the boardwalk, had some spectacular Bloody Marys and tacos. You can't go wrong at any of the great independent local taco joints all up and down the beach.
All
absolutely
right.
Beautiful.
Happy birthday delayed, but I know you had a great one over in San Diego. Thank you very much, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. You too, Bill. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt and everyone here at KVOI, my engineer and producer, Bob Dio. Really, the whole team at Bustos Media Tucson doing such a great job in support of the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of all of us here at 1030 The Voice, wishing you a safe and pleasant weekend.